Let me first of all say, Happy Mother's Day. And while not every woman in the room is a mother, every single person in this room has a mother. Amen? Where would we be without our mothers? We wouldn't be without our mothers. We thank God in heaven for them. I would like to acknowledge my mother this morning. She, 2 years ago, passed on and went home to be with the Lord. But I'd like to especially acknowledge the First Lady of the Church, my wife of 30 years and the mother of my children, Kathy Etheridge. Would you stand up, please, honey? And let's just say thank you for being the mother of the church. Thank you, honey. We celebrate all mothers this morning. It was Anna Jarvis of West Virginia. She never had children of her own, but since 1905, the death of her own mother inspired her to organize the first Mother's Day observances back in 1908. For Mrs. Jarvis, it was a day that you'd go home and spend time with your mother and thank her for all that she did. It wasn't to celebrate all mothers. It was to celebrate the best mother that you'd ever known, your mother personally. And that's why she stressed the singular Mother's Day, not Mother's Day. It was not for all mothers, but her mother especially. And largely through her efforts, Mother's Day came to be observed in a growing number of cities and states until finally U.S. President Woodrow Wilson officially set aside the second Sunday in May of 1914 for this holiday, making Mother's Day 100 years old this year. I think that is special. Moms are referred to more than 300 times in Scripture, 338 times to be specific. That's how important moms are. Sprinkled throughout the 66 books of the Bible, there is this constant reference to motherhood. And some of the mothers that we find in Scripture, some are good, some are great, some are not so good, some are terrible. But we can learn from them all. Amen. That's the point, that we can learn from the worst examples that we have. But all mothers are to be respected. And so as we look at Mother's Day this morning, I want you to know that it far precedes the noble efforts of Anna Jarvis back in the early 20th century. In fact, its roots reach all the way back to the time of Moses, almost 1500 years before Christ was born. All the way back in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, at the giving of the law, the Lord commanded Moses and the Israelites, honor your mother and father so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That stuck with me. Honor your parents. And if you do, you'll live a long and healthy life. And if you don't, watch out. It just leaves it to your imagination. What happens if you choose not to? The implication is that you won't be living long in the land. And that's how, in fact, if you were blasphemous and railed against your parents and were rebellious, you would be taken to the city elders for a good spanking or a stoning if you wouldn't listen to them. Oh, my. I wonder what kind of discipline problems we'd have in our homes if we could threaten our kids, I'll take you to the city elders. They'll stone you to death. Better get it straight. Better mind your P's and Q's. In that passage in Exodus 20, where we're told to honor our parents, that was a very interesting word that I looked up in the original Hebrew. It means literally to be heavy. To be heavy. In a bad sense, sometimes the word is used to denote someone who is burdensome or severe or dull, but usually, always in a good sense, it means to be numerous, to be rich, to be honorable, causatively, to make someone feel worthy. To make someone feel worthy. You feel the weight of their presence. Honor your mother and father. It is to boast on, it is to glorify, it is to make very great, it is to acknowledge honor, it is to promote one to a place of honor, to be rich in praise. That's how you should treat your moms. And it doesn't say to treat them that way if you think they are worthy of it. It says do it because God commanded it. None of us had perfect mothers. Amen. But they did the best they could with what they had under the circumstances. I'll give you many good reasons here in a while why you should thank a mother of any kind and caliber at all. But this word honor in Hebrew comes from the same exact root word that references God's glory. The kabod. God's glory, the weight of his presence. This is as the way we honor God is to how we're supposed to honor our parents. Kabod, the weight of his splendor, his majesty, honor and glory. The word Shekinah is used in Hebrew to denote God's visible, shining, radiant glory. But the word kabod always indicates his invisible weight, his unseen presence felt amongst us. And the reason we spend so much time in praise and worship is we're inviting his presence. We want to feel the weight of his presence here. In majesty and glory. That's why we wait on the Lord the way we do. It is so incredibly important. How are we to honor our parents? The same way we honor God. Shekinah, God's visible shining glory. God dwells in light unapproachable, 1 Timothy 6 reminds us. But kabod, oh, that's the invisible weight of his unseen presence. I used to feel that kind of reverence and respect when my father would walk in the room. When he came home, you knew he was the king of the castle. You felt the weight of his presence. Mom would always instill that in us. You just wait till your father gets home. Yeah, we felt the weight of that, all right. But in Hebrew, we are to honor our fathers and mothers. In the New Testament, Paul admonishes the Ephesian believers. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, he says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When do you stop being children? In your mom's eyes, never. Mom, I'm all grown up now. No, you're not. You think you are. Maybe your body's getting older, but I'll be your mom till you die. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, Paul says. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. If you don't honor your parents, regardless of whether they were good, bad, or indifferent, if you don't honor them, it is up to question as to whether you enjoy long life on the earth. But in the Greek language, honor is timao. It's where we get the word Timothy. It means literally to prize, to fix a value upon. It means by implication then to revere, to honor, to value your mother and father. To esteem as valuable, to be prized, to be honored, esteemed, and beloved. To be held dear, to be seen as honorable, most precious, and noble in reputation. That's how we are supposed to honor our mothers, especially on Mother's Day. And I'd encourage you, don't just make it one day a year. Is it only one day a year that we should honor our mothers? Only one day a year that we should honor our fathers? In fact, as I was thinking about this Mothers and Fathers thing, they start promoting Mother's Day like a month and a half in advance. And all of the card stores are stocked with mothers and presents and chocolates and flowers. And you know that there's this big buildup coming, you know, and we're supposed to bankrupt the bank and buy stuff for mom because we love her so much. But when Father's Day rolls around, if you were to blink twice, you'd miss the holiday entirely. And what do fathers get on Father's Day? We get some ratty tie that our kids bought for us on our credit card. That looks just like the ugly ratty tie we got last year. And we honor our mothers. Can we honor our fathers maybe a bit differently? I just want you to think about that for a second. I think both parents are to be honored. But today's Mom's Day. Next month, we'll cover the guys. Many scriptures give us excellent and noble examples of good mothers in the Bible. I think of Naomi in the Old Testament book of Ruth. What a formidable woman she was. What an exceptional mother. I'd like to focus for a moment, though, on Proverbs 31. If you'd like to turn there in the Old Testament. Proverbs 31. verses 10 through 31. This mentions this particular woman as being a wife, but also being a mother, and she is a person to be honored and to be spoken well of and be reverenced. And I just wanted to take a look at that, Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? It intimates that they are rare. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family. Good moms do. And portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. And out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's frugal with the family finances. She is considerate of the money that is a part of the home. She sets about her work vigorously. She's not lazy. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, good stewardship. And her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate and where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is found on her tongue, not only to her husband, but to her children. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Boy, that's something you want to do today for mom. Tell her that she is a blessing from God. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. This is exactly how I feel about my wife and the mother of my children. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The best kind of mother to have is a godly mother. For those of you ladies in the audience, or you gentlemen that did not have a godly mother, pray that your wife would be to your children. It's the greatest legacy we can pass on to them. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Oh, I love that chapter. It speaks of the godly woman, the godly mother, the godly wife, what she does, how she conducts herself, and how well she is thought of in the entire community. In the New Testament, I find another teaching as Paul in Romans chapter 16 is closing out this epistle to the believers at Rome. He makes this one of these closing remarks. He says, please greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and greet his mother, who has been a mother to me also. She's been a mother to Paul as well as to her son. And Paul was in middle-aged at this time. He wasn't a kid anymore. What that tells me is that mothers mother others too. Amen. It's a mothering thing. Mothers mother others. Right. Exactly. Moms never stop mothering because that's who God made them to be. My 27-year-old daughter said to her mom the other day, Mom, you're always mothering me. What do you expect? I'm the father. I'll father you. She'll mother you. Who else is going to do it? You got one father, one mother, and it's something we carry to the grave with us. So those of you that don't understand how come your moms are still meddling in your business, it is for this reason. They know best, and you don't. Plain and simple. They're known for their wisdom. I think that you should listen to your mom as long as God leaves her on this earth to bless you with her presence. One of the ways that we can honor mothers is to recognize some of their basic needs. And I just want to cover this briefly, but you guys might want to take notes because you probably haven't heard this before. If there are any men in this room, if there are any boys in this room, take a moment right here, right now, grab a pencil, grab a piece of paper somewhere. You want to take this down if you love yourself. Okay? This is wise counsel. You need to listen to this. According to Dr. Willard Harley, after interviewing more than 50,000 men and women in his counseling ministry, he summarized a woman's needs, a mother's needs, as follows. Number one. Guys, write this down. Don't make your wife have to remind you later of what I said. Okay? Number one. Women have a need for affection. I didn't say sex. For a guy, that's what he just heard me say. He said, she's got to give me sex. That's not what I said. Okay? She has a need for affection. Okay? Sex may come out of that, but you can have affection without sex, but you shouldn't ever have sex without affection. You know what I'm saying? And women are going, amen. You preach it to my hubby, honey. Okay, so listen up, guys. They have a need for affection. That means be tender with them. Touch them, hold them, cherish them. They have a need for affection. Be affectionate. Do you have that one written down? Okay, that's number one. Number two, women, you knew this, you just didn't want to do anything about it. But number two is they have a need, write it down, for conversation. Okay. Guys spend all day at work conversing with everybody they care to and come home and don't want to talk to anybody. Get over it. Because mom hasn't been talking to anybody but a toddler all day, and it's all gaga, goo goo, and TV shows that are for 18-month-old kids. You know, they're looking for a little adult conversation when you come home. So, dad, suck it up and just let them talk. I have so many women in my office that say, if my husband would just listen to me. Let me give you, ladies, a tip to help your husbands listen to you. Because men cannot multitask. Okay? That means we do one good thing at a time. That's all we can do. So if the TV is on, don't even try to have a conversation. Just turn the TV off. Talk then, and then we'll turn the TV back on, because that's all a guy can do. We can focus on one thing at a time. Have you ever noticed, ladies, when your husband is driving the car and the two of you are there together and your husband's looking for an address, he turns off the radio? Does that strike you as, is that weird or what? No, I can't do two things at the same time. I can't listen to music and find the address, okay? Don't tell me to turn left because I'm looking for an address, okay? Men just do one thing at a time. So, but guys, come home and be attentive to their need. I said need for conversation. So wives can feel so cherished. Mothers can feel so good about themselves if a child will just take time to listen to them. Doesn't God do that with us? Then why can't we be godly enough to go home and listen to our wives? Those of you that are children, why can't you just go home and instead of dumping on mom, why don't you just listen and ask mom, how'd your day go today? If you're in high school, your mom will pass out. She will think that you have had a stroke or something. You care about my day? I thought you were here to dump on me about your day. No, don't do that. They have a need for communication. Thirdly, and every husband in the room needs to write this down in italics, a woman has the need for honesty and openness. Guys, cut your tongue out of your mouth before you lie to your wife. Okay? It undermines security in the home. Women need to know that whatever comes out of hubby's mouth is going to be the truth. Just be honest and be open, because the consequences of that will be less than if you lie and cover up. If you lie and cover up, your wife will never trust you. Why should she? You lie and cover up. So guys, if you're a happy wife, happy life. Amen? go home and be affectionate. Number one, be let her converse. Number two, number three, be open and honest. Always tell the truth. Can I tell you from a biblical standpoint, telling the truth is the only option you have. God doesn't lie to us. He doesn't expect us ever to lie. And you say, well, Pastor Jim, what do you do when my wife, like she came to me yesterday and she put on this new dress that she bought and she said, does this dress make me look fat? Lie. You look great, baby. I love it. You know, there is a time and a place to be diplomatic, and that means politicians lie. So they're like, okay, but let me tell you, in the important matters of life, you want to be absolutely honest and open. A fourth need that women have, and you need to write this down as well. Women have a need, mothers have a need for financial support. Don't be a deadbeat. Get a job. You need to get two jobs, then that's what it takes to support your family. Then get two jobs. But they have a need. Women are security oriented. Guys can live in a garage on graham crackers and ramen noodle. We don't care about that stuff. But that is not true for women. Amen? It's not true for women. So provide security for your wife by providing financial support. And the fifth and last thing that is most important to mothers is your commitment to the family. Women need to know, guys, that the family is more important to you than work, than golf, than hobbies, than anything else, than recreation. You've got to let them know by your actions that you prize them more than anything else, more than baseball games, more than football games, more than going out and water skiing or skiing up in the mountains. You can honor your mothers. You can honor your wives by attending to their needs. Need for affection, conversation, honesty and openness, financial support, commitment to the family. If you didn't write them down, shame on you. I will spank you right after service if you will just come up. Afterwards, your wife will hold you. I brought the wooden spoon. It's right here. We can take care of that. If you didn't write it down, it means you have no intention of meeting those needs. Was that too blunt? Good. Good. Write it down. Good man, George. I'm proud of you. Of course, you're an elder. That doesn't count. You're supposed to do that. You know, you wouldn't be an elder otherwise. So all the rest of you guys, you write it down. Show me. Write it down. You show me what you got. Show me what you got. The rest of you guys are slackers and getting a spanking later. Okay. You want to take notes of this. You get this tape. You get the CD. You do what you take. Because if you love yourself, you will attend to these five needs that your wives and mothers have. We have so much to thank moms for. I mean, think about this. Your mother carried you for 9 months. And if you haven't ever seen a pregnant woman, my. You watch what those poor women go through for 9 months. And it reminds us, guys, I ain't nearly man enough to get pregnant. I'm not nearly man enough to carry a child for 9 months. I watch what they go through. I mean, the morning sickness alone, I would say, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. Here, you have the baby instead. Mom carried you for 9 months and then paid an agonizing price to bring you into this world. She nursed you. She cuddled you. She spoke tenderly to you before you remembering. She held you when you cried and changed you when you were helpless to change yourself. She clothed you when you couldn't clothe yourself. Mothers are people of fierce protectiveness of their children. We should praise them for that mothering instinct. We should praise them for their wisdom and diligence and hard work. We should praise them. Oh, boy, this hit me. So I wrote this down. Guys, we should praise our wives and our mothers for the laundry that we never did. We would just go out and buy new clothes. Wash machine. I don't know how to run that. We should praise our wives and our mothers for the meals that we never cooked. Guys, for the clothes that you never folded. For the diapers you never changed. For the dishes you never did. We should praise them for their unconditional love. Their compassion. Their perseverance. Our moms nurtured us, fed us, clothed us, bathed us, changed our diapers. Taught us to walk. Taught us to talk. They were our best coach and cheerleaders. We should praise mothers. Amen. I want to just do that right now. Thank you, Lord, for mothers. Thank you, Lord, for mothers. Oh, suppose we had to change our own diapers. Oh, my. You think about that. The whole message forced me to think about my mom. I grew up in an unsaved household. Nobody in my family knew the Lord. And mom and dad were less than perfect parents, as are all of them. But my earliest remembrances, my earliest remembrances predate photographs. I can remember as a child, we moved to England when I was only 6 months old. My dad got stationed over at Scunthorpe Air Force Base. It's since been closed in England, about 80 miles northeast of London. And my very first remembrances is about 3 years of age, where I was in a baby carriage. And I remember these big, black, dark trees that just seemed to reach up to the sky. And I can remember that after mom would walk us around the park and my older brother in the carriage with us, she'd always get fish and chips by a vendor at the street corner. And I remember the smell of fish and chips, and she'd break off a little chunk and give them to us kids. I can remember that she'd take us out. King's Lynn, England, is on a bit of an inlet there. And when the tide would go out, mom would take us to the beach and we'd play in the little tide pools. Mom and dad were a very, very modest means financially, but they did the best they could in raising us. But think of the people that have had the biggest impact in your life. I mean, really huge, meaningful impact. I can tell you, it's five people or less. And for many of us, the top of that list is our mothers, of people that had a formidable influence in our lives. We have so much to thank moms for. My grandmother and grandfather also played a very important role in bringing me up. Every time my father would go overseas or go to Vietnam or up to Stanislaus, Greenland, or in the Philippines for 2 years, we lived with my grandmother and grandfather, and they were parenting figures to me. So grandparents, please have as much input into the lives of your grandchildren as you can. Love them and encourage them and nurture them, because you still have a mothering and a fathering role there, even into your grandfathering years. I love it. I love being a grandpa. I thought being a parent was cool. Having grandkids takes it to a whole new level. You can't have too many mothers. I think every woman in this church has a responsibility to help mother the people of this church. The older women should be teaching the younger women to love their husbands, the Bible says. I think the whole collective works together. We need mothers in this church. You can't have too many. My mom wound up being a bowling coach when I had joined the American Junior Bowling Congress. She never bowled a game in her life, but she was a formidable bowling coach. When my dad would never come to our bowling games, mom was always there. She was always there. She was our greatest encourager. She saw us go as far as taking trophies in the state of Colorado at the men's open bowling. She was still coaching me when I was in my 30s when we were bowling. She even, when we were kids over in Germany, she even let me paint her car with hippie flowers and slogans when I was in a rock band over there. That's love. That Opel Cadet, I got pictures of that thing that I've seen. I went, she let us do that? What was she thinking? She loved us. She loved us, and she was selfless enough to let us do things like that. I had a rock and roll band for friends, and she embraced them like they were her own children. So think about that. How many people have had a lifelong, genuine impact on your life? I know that your mother is going to be a part of those five people or less that top the list. My mother taught me many things. Can I just share a couple of them with you? My mom taught me what a rhetorical question was. Do you want a spanking? What kid said, oh, would you please? Oh, yes, spank me till it feels good. Would you like me to get the wooden spoon? Why do mothers act like that? They already know the question, but I didn't know what a rhetorical question was, so she gave me one. Would you like a spanking? No. Would you like me to tell your father what you did? No. Those are rhetorical questions. My mom taught me logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. That's logic. It hit me that way as a young kid. My mom taught me about medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, you're going to get stuck that way forever. My mother taught me about intuition. Put your sweater on. Don't you think that I know you're cold? Whether you were or not. Mom always taught me how to meet a challenge. She would ask questions like, what were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Well, don't talk back to me. How do you win? That's a challenge. Mom taught me how to handle challenges like that, and I've been adept at it since. Mom taught me what it took to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. Okay, I guess that's a biological necessity to eat that. Mom taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. So that's where that came from. My mom taught me about anticipation. You just wait till your father gets home. Anticipation. Mom taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. And she didn't think we were listening. Yeah, all of that too true. Sadly, many mothers never get the recognition they so rightfully deserve for all of the sacrifices they make. I lost my mother 2 years ago to disease and death, but her spirit and her soul and the woman that she was lives on in me and my children and will live on in my children's children. I'd like to share something with you that Bishop T.D. Jakes pointed out. He said this, while you can thank your mother face to face and not face to tombstone after she's gone, then it's too late. Let her know every day, not just on Mother's Day, what she means to you, what her sacrifices meant to you, and how grateful you are for all that she gave up so that you could have. Even if she was not ideal, even if she made mistakes and poor choices, or perhaps even turned you over to someone else's care, at the very least, she pushed you into this world, and for that, you should thank her. Not all women have the resources to raise their children effectively, but as Scripture says about the woman who poured oil on Jesus' feet, she has done all that she could do. And we should be thankful that our mothers were willing to pay that price. No one can give away what they do not have. So let me just encourage you, regardless of the kind of mother you had, because you are a Christian filled with the Spirit of God, love her. Forgive her, honor her, and enjoy her, because she will go home someday and you won't be able to tell her that anymore. There's so many things I wish I could have said to my mom, but she's gone. I can go to the place where we buried her, but it's not the same. You always tend to take those that you love most for granted. Don't do that with your mother. Don't live a life of regret because you should have told them something while they were alive that you neglected to tell them. Choose to be loving and gracious and forgiving. Life is too short for bitterness. Life is too short for bitterness. And if I could just add this in closing, none of us had perfect parents, but Hebrews in the New Testament reminds us our parents disciplined us and we respected them for it. Our parents disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And you and I have a mom to thank for that. And mothers, if no one tells you Happy Mother's Day today, I want you to hear it from me and know that you are appreciated for your calm in the storm, your will to never give up, your strength in the struggle, your beauty of soul and mind and spirit and heart. And we, your children, applaud you this morning. Let's stand together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For the mother that you blessed me with for so many, many years. for the wisdom that she possessed, for the things that she passed on to me. Lord, this has been a good day of reflection and remembrance, and a day that will remind some of us, I just need to go home as soon as service is over and call Mom. Tell her how much I love her and how grateful I am.